Art Projects was founded by another artist of my generation, a very important artist who died just recently, John Nixon. John, just a couple of years older. In the early 70s, there were a group of us who were coming from different angles with different impetus, but we kind of recognised each other very early on. We recognised our intensity and our ambition. So that would be the core group of friends was John Nixon and his then partner Jenny Watson, Howard Arkley and his then partner Elizabeth Gower, and myself, and later my partner Christine, who was not an artist. But the three couples spent a lot of time with each other, talking about art, visiting each other. And by the late 70s, we'd all had a couple of shows. We had some dissatisfaction with the with gallery situations in Melbourne. A number of us had no gallery connection for a few years. John went, I think Jenny as well, went overseas, perhaps in 78, I think, and he saw some models for small galleries that were independently run, and decided that when he returned to Australia that he would do something similar. He was able to find a room in an old building in Lonsdale Street, and we can say safely now that many of those other rooms we moved into, so we were partly, the gallery was partly a gallery squat, as it were. And John started asking his friends of my generation, but also of the previous generation or half generation before, like Robert Jacks and John Davis. And we all kind of, there was no house style at all. Everyone had their own. We'd been around for a while. We were all pretty well on our own path with our own heroes and precedents and different ambitions. But John was very generous in embracing those he saw as having that that commitment. Art Projects lasted from 1979 to 1985. I showed there quite a few times, usually once a year, something like that, as did John many, many times more. So in this exhibition, we've got a model of Art Projects, and it's a scale model. I did 2 years of architecture. So even the lino is very close to the actual lino, the grey lino that was in that room. The window sashes and so forth are detailed reconstructions of it. The model is not something made later. It was actually exhibited inside the room of which it is a model. It was in the centre of that room, and inside the model is a separate exhibition with my ideogram turning on the four walls. So that's a permanent exhibition that's now been going from 1980 until today. We haven't closed that exhibition, and the lights will be on through this the period of this present exhibition at Buxton Contemporary. And the model, we haven't talked before, I haven't talked to you here before about puppet culture framing system, nor have I talked about the slave guitars of the art cult. It's something we'll talk about in a minute, but the model brings together a whole lot of diagrams and models and thoughts about manipulation. When I refer to puppet culture framing system, it was a way of framing works so that the strings, and we've talked about how the works hang on strings and come with strings attached, so this was more overt and specific. In the puppet culture framing system, there's a marionette that is a puppet master's cross at the top of the strings, so it's just reminding us that someone is pulling the strings as a generalisation, but just saying it questions our free determinations and so forth. And the slave guitar, so I'm now explaining the links, the slave guitar. If you imagine the puppet culture framing system with the marionette cross at the top, diagonal cross, and four strings coming from that and coming down to join to meet a frame below. In this case, the frame is in the slight variation of my ideogram with the supports indicated. So just as I've described it, it could be a marionette being jiggled about. If we were to pull the four strings into a bridge between the marionette cross at the top and the that which is to be seen, the projection space below, then that's very much a model of a guitar. And so I actually built that as a physical object with machine heads, which are the little turning screws that a guitar has on top of the marionette culture. And that's so then the slave guitar, so-called, became like a manipulator's guitar, hence the phrase slave guitars. And what is free dance and what is slave dance and slave music and free music and all of those. So at this stage, John and I in particular were both very much engaged with the Melbourne art scene, of which at that same time the birthday party with Nick Cave and others were part of the scene that we're attending, and I played the slave guitars on four different occasions and actually recorded tapes of slave guitar music and Melbourne in the early 80s. Well, it's Melbourne's always had a hugely vibrant music scene, many scenes, and I was part of three of them at that time. John had his so-called anti-music, capital A, capital M, anti-music, and that was just cassette making, and I was part of that. And I was also part of the organ factory in Clifton Hill, which had it was kind of contemporary classic, so-called contemporary classical music, with really major people like Chris Mann, but also included a lot of young pop artists like David Chesworth and Essendon Airport and Philip Brophy and Tut. So that was another vibrant centre, and I was playing with Use No Hooks, and we were playing at the Sea View in St Kilda and so forth. So that was all happening at that stage. So the slave guitar was a reflection. And I remember that John and I couldn't understand why we would go to all these gigs and love the music culture, and we couldn't understand why those in the music culture with whom we identified wouldn't come and look at art in the same serious way. So the slave guitar was meant to be a kind of a bridge between the two, and its original title was Slave Guitars of the Art Cult, and then it became a bit like Prince. It became Slave Guitars, formerly Slave Guitars of the Art Cult, as just Slave Guitars became kind of Slave Guitars of the World. And yeah.